2010-7080 Guerra against the Department of Veterans Affairs. Mr. Stoltz.
Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the Court. At issue in this appeal is the definition of the phrase a single service-connected disability rated as 100%. VA has consistently interpreted and applied the provisions of 38 CFR Section 4.16A to define a single 100% rating for the purposes of establishing special monthly compensation. This was established in VA's Procedure Manual M21-1, paragraph 50.38, which has existed for at least 30 years.
But that's no longer operative, correct?
No, Your Honor. The M21 has changed several times over the past.
But the current version, the version as I understood it since, 1995, has not had the cross-reference to 4.16.
It has not had the cross-reference to 4.16 for specifically 3.350I.
Right.
It has the cross-reference has remained for other sections of the regulation, notably 3.350F4. And when all that happened, and I believe that the secretary has more or less conceded in their brief or in his brief, that had Mr. Guerra filed before May of 1995, which is when they say it was rescinded, and it certainly does not appear in the current M21, had he filed then, he would be entitled to the special monthly compensation under the S rate. Removing the cross-reference here represented a change from the substantive rules that had been in effect since 1965. So, in other words, the secretary changed his mind one day, according to the Department of Veterans Affairs, that was in 1995, changed his mind, kept the reference to 4.16 to various portions of the exact same regulation, did not give anyone notice, let alone the veteran, did not apply with the APA, did not comply with VA's procedures of giving notice, and decided to change his mind one day, and all of a sudden a substantive right was taken away from a veteran.
Well, doesn't that presume that the pre-1995 version of 1114S actually allowed a veteran to combine disabilities for purpose of the rating? So the secretary only changed his mind if 1995 actually affected a change, correct?
If I follow your question, Your Honor, yes, I believe that's true, but it did affect a change. Because, and as I understand it, this is undisputed, before 1995, 4.16 certainly applied to this regulation, which is the implementing regulation of 1114S. So it did, it was a substantive change because it took away an existing
rule. Well, but the regulation, curiously enough, and I guess this goes all the way back to 1962, had the word single in it, which certainly, at minimum, strongly suggests, and perhaps is even dispositive, on the question of whether the 1114S reference to disability means a single disability, that is to say, a single disabling condition.
But that's precisely the ambiguity here. The single is ambiguous, and the secretary offering an interpretation, and the secretary has offered an interpretation on what single means since at least 1965, and presumably since the regulation was in effect. That interpretation was found in the M21. So they have the secretary has come in and said yes, single is, and because of the nature of veterans' law, single is an ambiguous term. And when they offered the interpretation and have done so for decades, then they are conceding that it is an ambiguous term. And they've defined it, as we pointed out in our opening brief, 1318 has it. The NOVA 1 and 2 cases dealt with implementing regulations of that. They feel that it is ambiguous in 3.350F4, which is found in the exact same regulation. Obviously, it's ambiguous enough there that they felt that they needed to define it in the M21-1.
Okay. Is the definition of disability the same under J and S? That section of the
statute? As far as disability or as far as total?
Total disability. Would it be defined as the same?
I believe so, yes. I think that it would have to be defined the same throughout the statutory scheme.
So does that support your argument at this point? If, in fact, they're treated and interpreted the same?
If, in fact, well, to my knowledge, the Department of Veterans Affairs hasn't promulgated an interpretation of J as such to this point. But if going through through the statute, through 114, you get to, let me go there right now. J specifically says if and while the disability is rated as total. So I believe that the way to look at that is to say that when Congress spoke of a total rating, they kept it consistent throughout J, throughout the statutory scheme.
Well, it seems to me that as I read this entire statute, and even going beyond 1114, mm-hmm. that the term disability is used in at least two different ways, and this may be directly pertinent to the sections that Judge Gallarza was questioning you about. In 1114J, mm-hmm. it seems pretty clear that the language, the word disability, means disability level or rating. So that we say if the disability level or rating is rated at total, as opposed to rated disability level is rated at 90%, whether there's one disability or multiple, that's what was meant by disability. On the other hand, there are other places in the statute, and I wonder if S is not one of them, in which the term disability is used to mean disability condition, as in a particular condition of disability, such as the loss of an eye or loss of an ear, and something such as 1160, which talks about blindness in one eye as a result of service-connected disability. Mm-hmm. That is to say, a particular disabling condition, as opposed to, that doesn't mean disability level. You don't lose an eye because of your disability level, right? So it does appear that disability is used in those two somewhat inconsistent fashions, right?
It could be. It's also worth noting, I think, in 1114, for the purposes of SMC, Congress only spoke to total. They did not specify 100% in there. 100% is a machination of VA to explain how you get to a total rating. And so once you have to look at it that way, certainly Congress, if you're totally disabled, then you're going to qualify for this under this. VA has then taken it to say, okay, well, then what is a single total? And they added the word single. And they said, so what is this total disability? And it's a single total disability. And for forever, well, for 30 years at least, they've said this is coming from 4.16. In other words, if it happened in one incident and you became totally disabled because of it, which is exactly what happened to Mr. Guerra, it was one incident that caused several different, what VA considers to be several different conditions, which they combined to then make 100%, then under that scenario, up until 1995, you were entitled to S because we're looking at you as you're totally disabled. It was from one incident.
Well,
plus you've got the 70.
Let's go back to the point that we were touching on earlier. Mm-hmm. If the statute, and I'm referring to 1114S, had the word single in it, so that it would have read, if the veteran has a single service-connected disability rated as total, mm-hmm. then wouldn't that be quite clear that they were intending the meaning that the Court of Veterans Claims has given to the statute as it now reads?
If the statute had the word single in it?
Right.
I don't, I actually would
it
answer
would make
that.
Your case a lot harder, right?
It would conceivably make my case harder, but it still doesn't change the fact that VA has clearly decided that it was ambiguous. And once it's ambiguous, they've offered an interpretation.
Right.
And we're saying that we're with them.
Yeah, but you're not with them because they've changed their interpretation. I mean, this strikes me as a very similar case to the Haas against Peak case, which you cite in your brief, where the VA originally had one interpretation of an ambiguous statute, and they changed it. And we said, you know, under Chevron principles, they're entitled to change it. Indeed, they are given a great deal of leeway with respect to the interpretation of their own regulation, which is what we've got here. And their current interpretation of that regulation, as I understand it, per the manual, is that it means single means one particular condition of disabling, condition, right?
I have two responses to that question. One, first of all, they didn't really offer a new interpretation at all. They removed a cross-reference. They removed that without giving anybody any notice, which does not comply with VA regulation, nor does it comply with
the ADA. They did the same thing in the Haas against Peak. They made a change without going through notice of comment.
In this case, though, it's absolutely affecting the substantive right.
So it did in Haas against Peak. That's why Haas lost.
Well, I'd have to go back and reread specifically what exactly happened in Haas, but I believe in Haas that the interpretation that had been longstanding, I thought that change was not as substantial as it didn't affect the substantial right that it does in this case.
It meant the difference between Haas winning and losing.
Okay, Your Honor, there's still a difference, and this is the second answer to your question, between this and what happened in the Haas case. In this case, VA is having the word single total disability rated at 100% mean different things throughout its own regulatory scheme. Because in 3.350F4, they have, in their M21, they still have the cross-reference, right? And the cross-reference that was removed, and again, that's all that was happened. It was just the cross-reference was simply removed in the M21. Remains in 3.350F4. So they're having the exact same terms mean something different throughout their regulatory scheme, which I would submit would be arbitrary and an arbitrary interpretation that they are offering without giving, again, any reasoning whatsoever for why they are offering that interpretation, which I think it makes it a little bit different than Haas, because in this case, the Secretary has left the cross-reference in for a similar portion.
Are you saying they have to be consistent in their interpretation?
Within the same regulation, I would say that they do have to be consistent with their interpretation, unless they're going to give a good reason as to why they're not consistent. And I think that's consistent with the NOVA line of cases, NOVA 1 and NOVA 2, which unfortunately we did not cite. But nevertheless, it was a case in which the Department of Veterans Affairs interpreted two different parts of their regulations differently, and this court remanded several times for them to fix that, for them to become consistent. So I think that beyond what happened in Haas, in this case, regardless of the amount of change, and in this one I would still submit it's a completely substantive change in which just a cross-reference was...
By taking out the cross-reference.
I'm sorry?
By eliminating the cross-reference.
Eliminating the cross-reference only in one section, only in one part of the same regulatory scheme, leaving it for F4. So if my client had qualified under, if he was under F4 to be rated L through N, then he would meet it because you would cross-reference 4.16 and he'd meet it. Just because he fell under I and because they removed a cross-reference arbitrarily, kind of, in 1995, now he does not meet it, which I think is the difference here between Haas, because now we've got VA doing an inconsistent interpretation for the same words.
Very well. I think we have your case, and we'll save your rebuttal time. You've asked for 3 minutes. We'll save your full rebuttal time.
Thank you.
Ms. Wayman.
Thank you, Your Honor. And may it please the court. The court need not even get to the VA manual because the plain language of 1114S is not ambiguous. One thing that is markedly missing from Mr. Guerra's briefs is any discussion of the fact that the second prong of 1114S clearly uses the words disability and disabilities. That clearly indicates Congress's unambiguous intent that the first threshold requirement under 1114S for special monthly compensation at the housebound rate was that there be, exactly as VA interpreted in its regulation, a single disability rated as total.
Would you agree that with my submission to your opposing counsel that it appears that at different places in the statute the term disability is used in at least two different ways, one to mean disability level and another to be disability or disabling condition?
Your Honor, I would agree with that.
And doesn't that generate some ambiguity with respect to the question of which of those two usages is intended in a particular situation, such as an S?
I would draw your honor, that might, but if your honor will let me continue, the point I was going to make is that I'd have to look at exactly where the word is used, because this is not a clearly worded necessarily statute, 1114 generally, which I know is probably shocking that it's a little unclear, but Congress seems to have used disability and disabilities plural in many different ways. So I don't know that I would generalize to say that it necessarily has just only two different meanings.
Well, I didn't run across a third one, but maybe there's a third.
Well, Your Honor, what I intended was by saying that was simply that under 1114L through N, which are the analogs to the 3.350F3 and F4 regulations that counsel was addressing previously with the cross-references are still in the manual. If Your Honors look at the actual language of 1114L through N, there is in those provisions no Article A when Congress uses service-connected disability. So that is why, Your Honor, I would not generalize that there may have only been two types of meanings or ways that Congress used these terms. But what I do think is very dispositive and clearly on the plain language of 1114S, Congress did explicitly not only just once, but three different times in the plain language of the provision at issue distinguish between a service-connected disability and disability or disabilities. It's not just in the second prong. If Your Honors look at the full 1114S, disability or disabilities is, in fact, used multiple times, two more times, just in 1114S. And moreover, I would note that it clearly, under this court's precedent in Norfolk Dredging and other cases, where Congress has used terms in a statute and not used them elsewhere, particularly within the same provision, we have to infer that Congress intended that. Congress did know when it wrote this statute that disabilities can be either treated separately or combined. And in fact, the general rule under the VA regulation 4.25B indicates that, as a general rule, disabilities are to be treated separately, not combined. And so, again, the court need not go beyond the plain language of the statute here, because there is certainly a marked difference between the language of the first requirement and that of the second requirement, where disabilities also is used in the plural.
What about Mr. Stoltz's point that under the manual provision corresponding to 3.350F4, the cross-reference to 4.16 has not been removed?
First, I would say, Your Honor, that...
That's correct, is it not?
It is correct. There is still a cross-reference.
What's the position of the VA? Is it that represents VA policy, or that was just a failure when 4.16 was taken out of 350I, a failure to make corresponding changes to other provisions of the manual?
The VA's position is that taking the cross-reference to 4.16A out of the I reference was very intentional to bring the VA manual in line with its own regulation, which Your Honor pointed out previously, included the word single.
But what about the failure? Is there a consistent, coherent explanation for the remaining inclusion in the manual of the reference to 4.16 in connection with 3.350F4?
The manual itself is not a model of clarity.
Well,
looking back at it, Your Honor, in preparation for this argument, in speaking with VA, we acknowledge that the cross-reference to 4.16A in the manual with regards to adjudication of 3.350F3 claims is superfluous.
Superfluous or erroneous?
Superfluous, because the language of the statute itself, 1114, I believe it is N, or I'm sorry, L, actually allows for both disability or disabilities. And the VA's position is that they took out, and the other point I would make is that there is no requirement that I am aware of that an agency have a consistent definition of every term in its interpretive document.
Wait. Are you saying that there is a difference in the way you would look at the question of disability with respect to a claim arising under 3.350F4 from a claim under 3.350i? Would the agency view Mr. Garrett differently if he were making a claim under 3.350F4?
Yes, Your Honor. That's
so
for
you would come out differently.
Yeah, it's a different adjudication. It's a very different set of questions. That's an aid and attendance statute, I believe, whereas we're looking here at monthly monthly compensation.
Okay, and the statutory basis for reaching a different conclusion with respect to that is what again?
It's the plain language. In the provisions, the analogs, the statutory analogs for the regulations 3.350F3 and F4, there is no...
Which are those again?
I believe those are 1114L through N. There is, as I noted before, no use of the Article A, and also there is not this the same second prong which we see in 1114S that distinguishes just three or four words later to say disability or disabilities. In other words, the statutory provisions pursuant to which the VA promulgated regulations under F3 and F4 don't have at all the same language as that in 1114S. So I think it is very reasonable.
So you're saying that it wasn't a mistake not to remove 4.16 from the other portions of the manual other than the one pertinent to 3.350i, right?
It was not a mistake,
right.
No.
Okay.
It was intentional to remove it with regards to 3.350i, and particularly because, as Your Honor pointed out before, the actual interpretive document, which the under Haas, the VA manual is. It is not a substantive rule, and notice and comment was not required. Indeed, the regulation 3.350i, which was promulgated in 1962, well before Mr. Guerra not only filed a claim for special monthly compensation, but well before he was even eligible. Mr. Guerra was not eligible for special monthly compensation under his own interpretation. Obviously, we believe he's never been entitled. It was not until September of 1995. So from 1962 through to the present, the regulation, which this court does owe deference to because it is not inconsistent with the statute, has always said a single disability.
But for some period, subset of time during that period, the manual contained the 4.16 cross-reference.
It did,
and
Your Honor.
Presumably people were getting benefits during that period predicated on not needing to satisfy the a single disabling condition, correct?
That is correct. In
right.
fact,
so,
Mr. Guerra relies upon a board decision where that happened,
right?
And that was wrong. Under the regulation, the manual was incorrect. And under the hour line of cases where an interpretive document is not consistent with the regulation or statute, it is entitled to no deference.
But when you say that the reason that the agency's position was consistent throughout all this period was because the regulation was consistent, even if the agency's interpretation of the and application of the regulation was inconsistent, that sort of turns on its head, does it not, the doctrine that an agency is entitled to broad discretion in the way it interprets its own regulations, because the agency has, until 1995, interpreted its regulation in a way that's inconsistent with what you're now saying is the plain meaning of the regulation. You would be, presumably, if this were 1994, and you were arguing for the agency's entitlement to discretion to interpret its regulation the way it wishes, you would be saying, forget the plain language of 3.350. This is the way we interpret it, and it's only if it's the clearest possible instance of inconsistency with our interpretation can you override us. Right?
And I would likely lose, Your Honor, I think, if I were trying to make that argument.
So you think that the pre-95 interpretation is just crazy?
The interpretation in the manual, correct.
It's just nuts.
I think it was inconsistent with the regulation that VA passed. Right. And the court looks to the regulation transmittal sheet, which is at attachment A to our brief, it clearly excludes TDIU ratings from allowing the veteran to be eligible under the first prong.
And what was it that provoked the 95 change? Was that the general counsel's opinion?
There is no general counsel opinion.
There was
that
one
found.
In 91, right, that came out that dealt with this issue generally?
There may have been, Your Honor. That's not, I don't believe, attached to our briefs.
Oh, okay.
In terms of what we did find, There was a transmittal sheet from 1995, which does not squarely state the reason that the cross-reference was being taken out, but does indicate that, that VA was bringing its adjudication manual in line with the language of the regulation that it had promulgated several years previously. The other points that I would make, Your Honor, are that to the extent I would argue that one thing I guess I would throw out to the court is that two things. First is that Mr. Guerra's interpretation really does, I believe, complicate the eligibility determination for benefits for special monthly compensation. As your honors are well aware, the VA system of benefits is very complicated. And to have, I point to Mr. Guerra's brief, footnote 2 of his opening brief, he makes the point that he's only referencing certain of what he calls relevant disabilities, and he has many others that he's not referencing. It's unclear, however, how Mr. Guerra determined which disabilities he wanted to reference in his brief and which he didn't in order to meet the threshold requirement. And so bringing the TDIU interpretation into this really complicates things when Congress very plainly, when it wrote this statute, indicated that it should be a disability rated as total, not at 100%. The statute literally says a disability rated as total and goes on to distinguish between disability or disabilities. The other note that I would make is that Mr. Guerra's interpretation isn't necessarily always beneficial to veterans. If you look at the definition of TDIU, one disability under 4.16A, that regulation, Mr. Guerra's brief does not reference the fact, although we do, that he's taken a part of the regulation, the regulatory language out, which is where VA defined one disability, it clearly said for purposes of the above and limited the one disability reference to TDIU. And it goes on in the regulation 4.16A to state that to define one disability and in certain instances where a veteran has a number of different disabilities that can be combined for purposes of TDIU or a total rating to reach 100%. If those all spring from, for instance, combat or one accident, that veteran may not have the additional 60% it needs, he or she would need, to get to special monthly compensation at the housebound rate. So I would just note that the interpretation Mr. Guerra proffers isn't necessarily always going to be beneficial to the veteran, and certainly, again, complicates what I believe Congress did intend was a very plain language interpretation of the statute and chose its words very carefully to preclude the interpretation that Mr. Guerra offers.
But the TDIU interpretation, though, would not be required to reach 100% by a single disability. You can combine them after the change to the regulation. Is that correct?
I believe, yes, Your Honor.
So why would that be contrary to what Mr. Guerra's position is taking now?
I'm not certain that I follow Your Honor's question.
Why would, you're saying that TDIU change in the position that Mr. Guerra is taking would be in opposition to what would be available to the veteran? It would be more difficult for them to obtain it. Why is that?
Not always, Your Honor, not across the board, but there would certainly be some instances in which a veteran who's trying to get the total rating for purposes of the first prong of 1114S mm-hmm. would look to the one disability under Mr. Guerra's interpretation would get that total rating only by having the one disability under TDIU. That if, for instance, a veteran, all of his or her combined disabilities sprung from one incident or from combat, even though the veteran may be suffering from a whole host of different disabilities, they would only be considered as one. And that particular veteran, if they didn't have separate and distinct disabilities rated at 60%, could not still be eligible for special monthly compensation at the housebound rate.
I guess if I were to disagree with you about the plain language and conclude that the statute was, in fact, ambiguous, then what happens? You take the agency's flip-flopping position, you add to it the legislative history, and quite frankly, I can't imagine a policy reason that justifies the plain language interpretation you would have me adopt. Because from a plain language, I mean, from a policy standpoint, you get the same amount under J, whether you're totally disabled based on a single disability or based on the combined, in no other instance is there a justification for treating it as single. So from a policy standpoint, I can see no virtue whatsoever in the particular construction that you're advocating. So if I were to disagree with the plain language, then what happens in this case? If I say it's ambiguous, what happens?
Well, Your Honor, I would go back to the fact that there has been a formal interpretation in the form of the regulation that was promulgated by VA in 1962 that is not flip-flopped. And for purposes of that regulation, the VA has always interpreted the statute 1114S to require.
Yeah, but VA interpreted its own regulation differently than you'd like me to interpret its regulation when you look at the manual.
For a time it did, Your Honor.
Yes. Give me an example of a single 100% disabled condition.
Well, under 100%, you'd have to go to the schedule, and there could be a veteran.
Total. A single disability that brings you to total.
I believe something like loss of hearing might bring you to total. I don't know the schedule intimately.
It doesn't. There's very. I can't actually figure out a single disability that gets you to total.
I know that there are, under the VA schedule, there are certain disabilities that automatically have 100% rating, and those would be considered as total.
Okay. And so it would only be those for which S would even have a possibility of applying, that very narrow subclass.
Yes, Your Honor.
Very well.
We respectfully request that the court affirm the decision below. Thank you.
Your rebuttal from Mr. Stoltz, 3 minutes.
I'd like to reiterate that, and I think that the first point that the Secretary's counsel brought up was that the statute is somehow clear. Again, if the statute were clear, there would not have been an interpretation offered in the N21-1 for 30 years. Even the provision, if you look at it closely, even the provision in 1995 that the Secretary cites, it still just removes a cross-reference, and it even refers to disability pension. Not even the special monthly compensation that we're dealing with. That may not be dispositive at all, because the fact of the matter is the cross-reference is certainly not included in the current M21. It has been removed. But it has been removed without any reasoning given. And again, I do understand that in the Haas case, VA was entitled to change its mind. But even in the Haas case, VA changed its mind, but several times while it changed its mind, it gave reasons as to why it was changing its mind. It was changing its mind for policy reasons. It was changing its mind to come in line with the statute. It was changing its mind several times over the course of 10 years. Here, I don't even know that the Secretary did change his mind.
Well, this 1991, are you familiar with the 1991?
I'm not, Your Honor, and I apologize for that. The General Counsel's
I won't raise it then. All right.
I apologize. And any type of supplemental briefing that you'd like on that, I'm happy to issue the court so order.
If we conclude that it's necessary, we'll let you know.
Thank you. In any case, notwithstanding that, the fact of the matter is, as far as what the Secretary has briefed, is that for 30 years, 4.16a applied to this. And the language of the statute says a total disability. So once under 4.25, you are combined up to 100%. For that, I suppose VA uses the term 100%. I don't believe the term 100% appears from the Congress. They look at whether or not someone is totally disabled. Mr. Aguirre, the way that they determine that is that he did combine to 100% and had the extra 70% for the post-traumatic stress disorder. But he did get to the 100%, so he would be totally, I would submit, he would be totally disabled. As to the statute being clear, because there's disability and disabilities in Part 2, that's not a second prong. That's another way to get there. That's another way to get to SMC. There's an or there. It's not an and. That part of the statute is not at issue here. We're talking about the interpretation of the first part of the statute. So I'm not sure where counsel was going with that. The regulation from 1962 that she was talking about still did speak to TDIU. It spoke to whether or not a total disability rating for individual unemployability purposes is a total rating, and it is. Bradley spoke to that too. That's the second part of this portion of the Bradley decision. It was in 1965 that they promulgated plainly that in order to determine this S rate, what is now the S rate under 1114, that VA is to look in adjudicating at 4.16a, which only makes sense.
Well, when you say promulgated, that was in the manual.
It was in the manual.
As opposed to in the regulations.
It was in the manual. Right. And they did, and V, VA has had the opportunity to change its regulation, too. It has had the opportunity to clarify 3.350I. It's chosen not to do so.
It has chosen not to do that at all.
Instead, the way VA went about it was they removed a cross-reference without any reasoning whatsoever and now ask us to ask this court to afford that some sort of deference. And I would submit that that is arbitrary, that is an arbitrary interpretation. At the end of the day, they're still interpreting the same words differently within the same regulation, which is a violation.
If we agree with you, wouldn't your best argument really be that the total disability under J is the same as total disability under S? That we have to interpret that language to be the same?
Be the same? Because it's a statute, I believe that would be an easier way to get there, yes.
Mr. Stoltz?
Thank you.
We thank both counsel. The case is submitted.